Welcome to Mass Appeal, the Saturday morning live show on Catholic Radio, where you can get some free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective by calling this toll-free number, 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK. This is Colleen Kelly Mast. I'm a certified life coach, a Catholic speaker. I've been giving retreats and keynote addresses. I'm the author of the Love and Life Program for Parents and Teens, the Sex Respect Program for Public Schools and Secular Thinking Teens, and the new Love Ed video discussion series for parents and their young children and preteens. So I hold a master's degree in health education, an honorary doctorate in humane letters, and teaching certificates in health science, physical education, and theology. I've taught at every level. I've traveled the world to share this good news with people. I've debated Planned Parenthood and the ACLU. And I'm here for you the next 2 hours to offer you some free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. I've been on the radio now for 24 years with the help of the Holy Spirit, offering those seven gifts: wisdom, understanding, counsel, fortitude, knowledge, piety, fear of the Lord. What do you need today? So stay tuned here for the next 2 hours for some free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. If you want to learn more about my work, my books, and my life coaching and speaking, you can check out my website, respect, the number four, the letter U, respect4u.com. But here we'll have some free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective for the next 2 hours. If you call this toll-free number, 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK. Call now, because we're going to be chatting our first segment with a special guest. So you can call. Melissa will take your calls. You call in 877-573-7825 every Saturday morning during this 2 hours. Tell her your first name, where you're calling from, or what station you're listening to, and the topic of your question. So as you face your personal problems of the day, week, month, or year, or lifetime, we can explore your options, some solutions, offer you some ideas, maybe action steps you can change, or a virtue you need to grow in to defer this situation. Or even if our problems are caused by other people, we can change the way we respond to them and find peace for ourselves. So even sometimes their reaction will change. So give us a call now. Maybe you just need to be a little bit more like Christ. Maybe your husband rolls his eyes every time you start to speak because you criticize him too much. Or maybe your sister-in-law is manipulating you. Or you need to be kinder and you don't know where to start. The number is 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK. This is Colleen Kelly Mast. You're listening to Catholic Radio, and this show is called Mast Appeal. But I want to start out with something very exciting. I have a guest here, the president of Ignatius Press, Mark Brumley, and we are privileged to have him here to tell us about this new book I'm very excited about, Pope Benedict. I still miss Pope Benedict, and I know some of you do too, and that's why I thought we've got to get this book on here. Pope Benedict XVI, the late pope, wrote a new book. Well, he didn't write it. He wrote stuff a long time ago. God is Ever New, Meditations on Life, Love, and Freedom. So this is a book for busy Catholics, like all of us, who want to experience the late Pope Benedict XVI's wisdom and his deep theological insights in little bits, in little short essays, little excerpts from his speeches, documents. And these meditations are full of his beautiful theology, but are not all theologically astute in a way that it just brings us practical wisdom. So it's not too heavy, not too hard to read, but the book God is Ever New is just coming out from Ignatius Press right now. So here we have Mark Brumley, the president of Ignatius Press, the primary English language publisher of the works of Pope Benedict XVI. Are you here with us, Mark?
I am. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for getting up so early in California, right? Is that where you are?
I am, and it's okay. Perfectly fine.
Okay, good, good. Well, I'm excited, as you could tell, about Pope Benedict XVI's new book, God is Ever New, with all these bits of meditations, because it's hard to read his documents, although they're beautiful, but to read the whole thing is a lot for your head. So that you've broken it up, I'm very, very pleased and thankful, because Pope Benedict XVI was such a prolific writer, such a great theologian. You know, how is this book, God is Ever New, going to help people who just want to get a taste of his writings without going through the long ones.
Well, I think in your opening comments you kind of hit on it, that these are really bite-sized little selections of various things, and they've been selected in such a way as to fit into sort of everyday spiritual themes. There's a lot of misconceptions about Pope Benedict. Sometimes, because he was such a great theologian, people think, well, his writings must be very profound, and I don't think I can approach them or something like that.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And sometimes it depends on what you're starting with. You know, if you pick up a big theological work, if you don't have the background, that may be a challenge. But there's so much that he wrote that is very accessible, and this book makes his accessible stuff even more accessible by giving you a little bite-sized selection. So things on God and Jesus, faith, what is faith about, love, prayer, things that young people and families need to know about, meditations on hope and holiness and truth and freedom and joy, really basic themes of living, these excerpts address. So
I've got one right here on joy. He says, and this is page 152, true joy is something different from pleasure, Pope Benedict the 16th said when he was meeting with diocesan clergy in 2005. He said, true joy is something different from pleasure. Joy grows and continues to mature in suffering, in communion with the cross of Christ. It is here alone that the true joy of faith is born. So a wonderful experience you had. You studied under Joseph Ratzinger when he was a priest, right, at the University of Regensburg? So,
well, I didn't, but okay. Father Fessio did.
Oh,
the founder of
Father Fessio did. Okay.
Yeah.
So what was he like? What do you know from Father Fessio, since you've been hanging around with him for a long time? What do you know about Father Cardinal Ratzinger, Pope Benedict XVI's background?
Well, I will say this, as Father has recounted, and there are several times, you know, Father and I met with Benedict XVI. At one time, even when he was Cardinal Ratzinger, he came to Ignatius Press and spent the afternoon with us. It was wonderful.
Mm.
He obviously was a brilliant man, a very holy man, but also very shy. You know, you think of popes, you tend to think of them as being kind of flamboyant and out there. And, you know, John Paul II was very much he had been an actor and he was young, and Pope Francis is, you know, very much a kind of that outgoing personality. Well, Benedict was outgoing, but you could tell he was kind of a shy person as well, and very gentlemanly. Father tells me that he was a masterful teacher, that he would have these seminars where, you know, each student would be asked something and they would contribute. And then at the end of the seminar, he would summarize everybody's contribution, make them sound more brilliant than they were.
Oh, my goodness. Beautiful. So this new book, God is Ever New, by Pope Benedict XVI, how do you suggest people read the book? How do they approach it? Do they use it as a devotional or daily prayer, read it in adoration? How do you suggest we use the new book, God is Ever New, by Pope Benedict XVI?
Well, I would say all the above. You know, what I've been doing is I've been reading it in the mornings, you know, sort of devotional time in the mornings. I usually do the scripture readings and I do, for Mass and liturgical readings. But I've also incorporated this into my morning devotional time. And they're really, really short things, mm-hmm. so that it's not like they're going to take up your whole morning. You know, you could read them in just a few moments. But the themes are just so basic and practical, and we all need to be called back to those. Sometimes I teach theology, and obviously I'm an editor, so I'm reading theological books all the time. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you can fall into the rut of looking for the, you know, deep theological insight and miss the basics. And what I love about this book is it helps call all of us, especially those of us who read, you know, highfalutin theology from time to time, back to the basics.
The, another quote I want to present to our audience is about gladness. Gladness comes from the freedom God offers us. That's back on page 158. Because everyone can relate to a lot of the sadness going on in our culture today. Pope Benedict XVI, in his book, God is Ever New, says, "Perhaps we Catholics, who've always known it, are no longer surprised and no longer feeling this liberating joy keenly. However, if we look at today's world where God is absent, we cannot but note that it is also dominated by fears and uncertainties. Is it good to be a person or not? Is it good to be alive or not? Is it truly a good to exist, or might everything be negative and they really live in a dark world?" And so the timeless advice and the thoughts that he gives us will help people for a long time and ponder the meaning of life. Another interesting thing about the book, Mark, is that the foreword by Pope Francis is very beautiful and insightful. Do you know anything about their relationship after Francis was elected Pope and Benedict resigned? Because his glorious introduction just is so full of high praise.
Well, I mean, I know obviously Pope Benedict resided there, you know, in the Vatican grounds nearby, and Pope Francis would visit him in his retirement of sorts. It was sort of not so much a retirement as just a change in direction, because he obviously dedicated his life to praying for the church, and so that they seem to have good sort of spiritual camaraderie. But I also noticed that a number of the books that we publish of Pope Benedict, Pope Francis has done the foreword to. We do a series of selected works of Benedict that we publish on different themes. You know, God is love. We just recently published one on his reflections on European origins of the church and things of that sort. But Pope Francis writes these wonderful little introductions or forewords to these books to underscore the fact that, you know, we had this anomaly of a pope and then a retired pope living at the same time, and that we didn't really have two popes. We had one pope, which is Pope Francis, but he very much honored his predecessor. So
beautiful. We're talking to Mark Brumley, the president of Ignatius Press, that has just published a new book of Meditations on Life, Love, and Freedom by Pope Benedict XVI. It's called God is Ever New. Mark, what do you think Pope Benedict would say is the greatest threat to private prayer of Catholics and Christians today in this particular culture?
Well, he's talked about, you know, the culture of distraction, and I think that would be one of the big things, is that we just allow ourselves to get distracted. And Cardinal Serra, whom we also publish, has made that point, talking about just the incessant distraction in the modern world, whether it's, you know, just the day-to-day business of living, or, you know, today we have so much social media and internet and all of that, that these things can just dominate. They can dominate our minds, our hearts, our attitudes and outlooks. And we need to be able to just step back and have time for silence, you know, space for silence, space for God to speak. And this, what Benedict calls this receptivity, prayer, he's got a little section called prayer is receptivity to God's grace, which is just basically opening ourselves, allowing ourselves to hear God and for God to speak to us.
Beautiful. Well, we're talking about the new book by Ignatius Press of excerpts from different talks and writings of Pope Benedict XVI. It's called God is Ever New. So if you ever wanted to read more of Pope Benedict, if you miss him because he's still with us in this way and you'd like to read bites of it, get a copy of the book God is Ever New, published by Ignatius Press. So, Mark, what do you think people will remember about Pope Benedict XVI, besides getting this book and remembering all these little bits of wisdom? What do you think people remember most about him?
Really hard to say in a sense of a historical judgment, but I mean, I think the fact that he was the first pope to resign in so many centuries, I think that will stand out in people's minds. Certainly, we know at Ignatius Press his contribution to modern theology and spirituality is just immense. I think he'll be seen as a pope who tried to help the church and the world find a balance between, or to have this balance of faith and reason, you know, that are, he famously talked about, you know, reason can help faith, so that it doesn't develop pathologies, as he called it, you know, illnesses, and we see really extreme religious systems and things of that sort that are really actually contrary to the gospel. And reason can help keep faith on track, but then faith is necessary to keep reason on track, because we see illnesses of excessive reason in the world today, where you have materialism and atheism and these various systems. And I think one of his big contributions is the fact that he had that balance of faith and reason, keeping them in check. Also the fact that, you know, right out of the gate, his first encyclical, God is Love, he stressed, even though he you know, would stress how, you know, God is a God of reason and so on, it's not just the kind of, as he says in this book, it's not the mathematical reason, it's love. God is first and foremost love, and he's creative love, and reason expressing itself in the form of creative love. I think that will be a major theme that he'll be remembered for.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for being with us. We were chatting with Mark Brumley, the president of Ignatius Press, the primary English language publisher of the works of Pope Benedict XVI in any language. They will publish it for us in English. And right now we were discussing the book that you probably should get. I'm enjoying it so much. God is Ever New, Meditations on Life, Love, and Freedom. Thanks so much for being with us today, Mark. I appreciate it. God bless you.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, it's time for you guys to call. The rest of the show is yours. Your calls drive the show. You decide what the topics are today. But go ahead and order that book, God is Ever New. I'm really enjoying it because I miss Pope Benedict XVI so much that now he's still with us today. You give us a call with your question or personal problem. The number to get on today's Mass Appeal is 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK, and we'll be back with your calls in just a moment.
For an easy appetizer at your next family gathering, head to Colasanti's Market in Highland for custom deli trays with your choice of premium meats, cheeses, organic fruits and veggies, or even 3-foot-long sub sandwiches. Colasanti's homemade meatballs are sure to impress with flavors like sweet barbecue, Italian, or sweet and sour. Visit Colasanti's.com. That's Colasanti's.com. Or call 248-887-3205.
The history books tell of many times and places in which the Zeitgeist, the spirit of the time, decided that for the good of the state, some element of its population should be killed, like the Irish or African slaves or Jews or priests. While the Christian tradition maintains that human life is sacred, don't assume that the world agrees. Accordingly, many of the mothers, fathers, and grandparents bringing an unborn child to the abortuary know that they are killing a human being, yet have no problem with it, because history has taught them that human life is not sacred, and that occasionally certain members of society have to be sacrificed. Therefore, the pro-life movement cannot argue simply that human life is sacred. It must argue why it is sacred. The pro-life movement should show the world that as the person struggles with loneliness, runs from death, seeks answers, seeks beauty, the person is showing that he belongs to God. GuadalupeWorkers.org.
Do you have a teenager at home who's full of potential? Too often the world is telling you to be content with mediocrity instead of raising respectful and responsible young adults with strong character. Hi, everybody. I'm Dr. Ray. If you need some help, not only to navigate those teen years, but to really enjoy them, check out my book, Standing Strong, Good Discipline Makes Great Teens, as well as my other books, on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net.
Good morning. Welcome to Mass Appeal, the Saturday morning live show on Catholic Radio, where you can get some free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. It's May already, the month of Mary, the month of the Holy Rosary. Now, when I was in Omaha last week giving my talk, The Four Heart Healthy Habits of Holiness, I reminded people to pray the rosary, not just say the rosary. We are created for God and to pray and to really converse with Him and speak with Him and meditate on the mysteries of the rosary. This is a multitasking prayer here. We don't just repeat something over and over and over again. The repeating the Hail Marys should be done with our whole hearts, but it's also a counting. You know, it gives us 10 different counts, times of Hail Marys to meditate on these mysteries of the life of Christ. So if you haven't been really meditating on the mysteries, or maybe you're just saying the rosary, let's pray the rosary. And if you have little kids at home or grandkids who pray the rosary, get one of those coloring books or the pictures of all the mysteries and ponder the life of Christ as we pray our Father, 10 Hail Marys, Glory Be, and other Fatima prayers. So it's the month. If you don't pray it every day during the rest of the year, this is the month to do that. And for now, give me a call with your question or personal problem. Your calls drive the show. You decide what the topics are today, and the lines are open, waiting to hear from you. The number is 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK. Maybe I can help you see your problem differently than you see it now. Just another perspective might help. Or maybe I can gently challenge you if you're not acting like you should, or you're wondering, is this right or this wrong? Am I doing this right? Is there another way I could do this? Or maybe what you're doing is absolutely right, and I could say, good job. What you're doing is really okay, but you might just tweak it this way. Or maybe I'll remind you of a virtue you can grow in while you're facing that situation. Here we're coming up on summertime, a lot of graduations, first communions, a lot of things going on this month. You have your college kids coming home, your other grade school kids will be out of school. Things change as this month progresses. So if I can help you with whatever might be disturbing your peace or a personal problem, give me a call. This is Colleen Kelly Mast on Mast Appeal, and the number to get on today's show is 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK. Give us a call. Melissa's our call screener and engineer today. She will take your name down and where you're calling from, or what radio station you're listening to, or if you're just listening to Alexa or Sirius Catholic Radio, we'll know where you are or how you're reaching our show, Mast Appeal. Then just tell her the topic of your question. You don't have to explain it all to her. Just tell her the basic topic, and she'll put that down in a sentence or a phrase and send it over to me on my call screening board, and we'll take your call when it's your turn. The number again is 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK. I'd like to read another quote from Pope Benedict XVI in his new book, God is Ever New. And it was a homily at Holy Mass in Italy, July 4th, 2010. And he says, we live in a society in which it seems that every space, every moment must be filled with projects, activities, and noise. There's often no time even to listen or to converse. Think about that. You know, do you go to a movie, or you're always listening to music, you got the TV on when you're at dinner. So Pope Benedict says, dear brothers and sisters, let us not fear to create silence within and outside of ourselves if we wish to be able not only to become aware of God's voice, but also to make out the voice of the person beside us, the voices of others. Well, who do you live with in your house? Do you experience some silence together that helps you think about that other person? When that silence comes up, do you think, how can I love this person sitting next to me or across the table from me or on the couch? If you do watch TV together, do you turn off the commercials or shut it down every once in a while and talk about what you just saw? Silence, taking time for silence, reminds us of God and the other person reminds us that we're supposed to love them. So take some time for silence. And even if you go on a walk or you're out gardening, talk to God, listen to God, be aware of Him. So creating silence, Pope Benedict says, is to listen to God. This is something that we need to be doing on a regular basis. But for now, I'd be ready to listen to you if you give us a call with your question or personal problem. The number to get on today's Mast Appeal is 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK, and we'll be back with your calls in just a moment. Welcome to Mast Appeal, the Saturday morning show on Catholic Radio, where you can get some free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. If you give me a call, your calls drive the show. You decide what the topics are. Except I got that opening for me. And today we talked about Pope Benedict's new book, God is Ever New, and He is. When you read the scriptures, they're ever new. When you read Pope Benedict's teachings in little bites, this creates newness in us. This weekend's readings are a lot about love, and of course there is some newness too in the first reading where the people, no matter what their background, even if they weren't Jews, should be baptized. So give us a call with your question or personal problem. What's disturbing your peace? What do you need from a Catholic perspective when you're trying to solve that situation of the day or get a second opinion on a decision you're trying to make? The number to get on today's show is 877-573-7825, and we can improve our lives just one step at a time. Okay, is our first caller ready? Annie Anonymous from Illinois, welcome to the show. You're on the air now. Annie, how can I help you? Go ahead, Annie Anonymous from Illinois. You're on the air now. What is your question?
I have a problem.
Okay.
I accidentally let out a family secret about the identity of a girl's father to a person that is a friend of my relative, and she didn't know, but she suspected, and now I'm the bad guy. I apologize. Mm-hmm. I said, oh, my gosh. I didn't mean to say that. Please don't tell her that you know. And she did anyway.
You can't take that stuff back. You can't take it back.
The people that know me, you know, this secret has been kept, you know, for years. The little girl that this is about, mm-hmm. you know, is not really living with her real father. It's her, the guy adopted her. And this girl obviously doesn't know it, but the thing is, she still doesn't know it. But the problem is, I let it slip that he's not the girl's real father. He has a drinking problem. And I said, I was afraid that one day when he drinks, it might come out. And I let it slip out to the girl that I was talking to, who's supposedly best friends with this girl's mother.
Oh, no.
So I apologized profusely. I said I accidentally let it slip up. The person, you know, I would never, this has been kept for 12 years. I don't want to be the one, it's not my place. Mm. It just came up in the conversation. Mm. Like, I'm worried about her because, you know, if the adopted father in his drinking state would accidentally say something, she goes, what do you mean? That's not a real father? And I said, oh my gosh.
Mm.
And so I apologized profusely. We're all Christians. We're all, you know, Catholics. Mm-hmm. I apologized. My niece said she doesn't want anything to do with me for a while. She forgives me, but you know, she's keeping her distance. And my brother and his wife said the same thing, and here I am. And I'm crying every day because of what was an accident. And
my goodness.
The girl should have never said anything. So is she really a friend?
Oh my goodness, really. This is such a difficult situation. It reminds me of that story of St. Philip Neri, who gave this unusual penance to somebody for her sin of spreading gossip. And he told her to take a feather pillow to the top of the church bell tower, rip it open, let the wind blow all the feathers away, which is kind of an abnormal penance. And then he gave her a second penance, and he said, go down from the bell tower and collect all the feathers that had been scattered throughout the town. And of course, she couldn't do it. You know, that was the point that Philip Neri was trying to make, to underscore the destructive nature of gossip. So the seriousness about this is that you can't erase it. You can't go back and undo it. But you can, there are some things you can do. You've done some of them already. One, kneel down before God and tell him you're sorry. Take this to the confessional to heal you. Otherwise, you're going to be carrying this around, beating yourself up the rest of your life. One of the reasons we go to confession is to reconnect with God and to receive the help and the grace and the healing that we need. So you're going to have to really trust God on this one and let him heal you. Let him forgive you so you don't beat yourself up the rest of your life, because it was horrible. It just slipped out. It's not like it was mortal and you deliberately tried to, you know, slander or detract to this person. But as you say, in our human weakness, it slips out. So you can't take it back, but you can, first of all, be forgiven and ask for healing. And then hopefully the priest will give you a penance. But I'm going to suggest, for part of your reparation, is to pray for everyone involved. Some serious, ways that you can show God that you are truly sorry and you want to ask for his grace, because only his grace can collect all those feathers, you know, as the penitent at St. Philip Neri found out. Only God can heal these things. So you could pray or do some extra fasting, fast from television or fast from speaking for a day or fast from going out to your favorite lunch place or some kind of fasting that tells God you're serious about asking him to send graces down to eliminate anything that could happen bad. Happen badly, is it? Anything that could be destroying people's relationship or reputation. And so you can just pray that this slip up does not do too much destruction. So that means praying for the person that you told that they won't tell somebody else, but you say they did that. Pray for the person they told that this will be stopped, that someone will squelch it, and that should anybody find out, that they can receive it with mercy and love. And, you know, so pray for anything that could be happening as the ripple effects of you slipping up and giving out this family secret, and then pray that good can come of it, because God can turn anything into good. If he can turn a crucifixion into a resurrection, somehow he can turn this into good. So I'd say pray, make sacrifices and random acts of kindness. You do what you can do to make up the difference, because you can't take that back. And so your confession, your penance, your reparation will be that this can ultimately not do any more harm than it has already done, and that ultimately God can turn it into good or the benefit of the girl. And then, do you have a close relationship with the girl, that you see her regularly? You said she's not dressing very modestly.
On occasions, you know, like birthdays and stuff like that, because she's working. And anyway, long story short, I also want to ask you this, and that's very good advice, and I have been doing that. I wrote,
good,
you know, on text.
Wonderful.
And said,
okay, don't spread the bad stuff out anymore. And if there's anything you can do for that girl, would be good too, when you see her at parties, and give her some encouragement, you know, of her beauty, or maybe a little tip like, hey, you might want to cover that up. You know, it makes men see you as an object rather than a person. You know, so you can find ways to nurture her if she's needy and one of your relatives. So spread the love and stop the gossip, and ask God to bless and to forgive and to do his part to make up for the problem that is being created, or was created, that hopefully will stop. Thanks for the call. God bless you. We'll be back with more of Mast Appeal, 877-5-PEP-TALK.
Spring into mowing season with a new Cub Cadet lawn tractor from Weingarts. We've been helping families like yours choose the right power equipment since 1945. Cub Cadet XT Enduro Series tractors are engineered to offer the best combination of quality, value, and performance. Cub Cadet lawn and garden tractors offer comfort and year-round versatility. Stop by our stores to help find your next Cub Cadet or visit us online at Weingarts.com. From our family to yours, thank you for letting us serve you.
Weingarts, everything from lawn to snow.
Jesus calls us to examine our motives and actions in our daily lives. We must be honest and ask ourselves if we're speaking and doing things that are moving us closer to Christ or farther away from Him. We're all created to seek eternal happiness in heaven with God. This worldly life is merely passing, so we must be guided by God's will, and that so we can get to heaven. We do that by examining our words and actions daily. I think about this and often wonder, how am I sharing Jesus today? When I have an urge to respond to a social media post that gets my blood boiling, or when I hear someone repeat a false narrative heard on mainstream media because it's about an agenda and not the truth, I ask the Holy Spirit to guide my response so those receiving it can hear and see Jesus. Ask yourself, what motivates your actions and words? Who is guiding your speech? How are you taming your tongue? This has been a Christ-centered communication message. I'm Vanessa Denhagarmo, a communications evangelist and host of Epiphany.
This week on Christ is the Answer, we continue Father John's series on the seven sacraments. What is a sacrament? Well, it's a concrete mystery that when you bump into it, it puts you in contact with divine reality. Whether you're going through RCIA right now or just want to refresh your knowledge on these beautiful gifts, join us this week as Father John talks about the sacredness of marriage and the source and summit of our lives, the Eucharist. Tune in for Christ is the Answer, Monday through Fridays at 11 a.m. on Ave Maria Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Mast Appeal, the Saturday morning live show on Catholic Radio, where you can get some free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. The number to get on today's show with your question or personal problem is 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK. Over the break, I was thinking about the power of our words and, and how we can hurt people when we're just poking fun at them, or we think we're witty, or we want their attention, or maybe we're irritating people with our words. There's such power in the words that we use. And there was a saying when I was growing up that was wrong. It said, sticks and stones can break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Well, that's not true. It hurts people a lot to use your words in that way. But I was also trying to think of Annie Anonymous. If I was in her situation, like, what could we do to prevent us from just slipping like that? And how do we get that in some secret that we know? How do we keep it in the bottom of our memory so it doesn't come out and we're not in continuous judgment or thoughts of that person of whom we know that gossip? Do we ask God to stifle our memory so we don't remember those things? Do we fill our minds with so much other goodness, truth, and beauty that we don't remember those secrets that we should? How do we ask God to help us keep our memory in line so that we don't just slip out with something that's fresh in our memory that maybe can hurt someone like that? So let's think about that a while. All right, give us a call with your question or personal problem. The number to get on today's show is 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK. Our next caller is Susan from New Jersey. Welcome to the show, Susan. You're on the air now. Go ahead.
Thank you. Hello.
Yes, you're on the air. Good morning, Susan.
Okay. How are you?
Good. How about you?
I'm calling with just to ask some advice about an old friendship. It's probably about over 60 years. Someone I grew up with who I've always kept in contact with, but never lived near one another. And from a distance, it was a phone call, maybe an occasional visit, And it took me years to realize that this person has a pretty significant mental illness.
Mm.
And currently, she is estranged for a number of years from her family. They want nothing to do with her. And I have grown up with her family, and I have a decent relationship, but I don't relate with them because I feel like it would be hurtful to her if I did that.
Hmm.
So, just recently, 3 months ago, she has this ability to trigger you. And I felt triggered, and I mistakenly now said that I couldn't be her friend anymore. And she said stuff throughout, you know, the last several years, like, I'm her sister. And I said, no, I'm so sorry, but I'm not your sister. You're a good friend. But I have a lot of good friends, because I guess in, when I probe this myself, I feel like perhaps she's going to expect me to take her in, and I just can't handle that.
Mm-hmm.
So she lives like a reclusive lifestyle. She's got OCD. She's a hoarder. And that's just the tip. And she's been under psychiatric care for a number of years. And so when I said this to her, a month went by, and I contacted her apologizing profusely. And, well, not profusely, but I did apologize.
For saying that you couldn't be her friend anymore?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I said, I'm sorry, you know, and then, of course, on the other end, her end, things that I remember her saying to me that I'm not really a Christian, you know, and just trying to, you know, she retaliated. So, and I feel very badly, and I just need guidance of what to do. I texted her twice since that, the first time apologizing, the second time was at Easter, just thinking of you and hope that you're okay, and radio silence. And I don't, you know, she's put me in positions in the past, like on her birthday last November, I offered to take her to lunch. Now I have to drive over an hour to get to her. And she said, okay, we agreed that I would call her the next day, never answered for 5 days. So I almost went out to her house. Finally, I called the police to do a wellness check because her sister, who lives in California, recommended that.
Mm-hmm.
And she was, oh, I lost my phone. I think she might have been depressed because she sees no one for the holidays, her birthdays. And I've tried to invite her to my house, but her mental illness prevents her from ever getting anywhere on time and ever leaving any place on time. So none of my family, because my brother grew up with her, wants her to come to their house on Christmas, or my children don't want her to come. So it's, you know, I'm always in an uncomfortable position. And during COVID, I made sure I brought her meals, but now I'm 71, and I have some health problems, and I feel like scared that I'm going to be, that she is my brother's keeper, that I'm going to be responsible for her. And I guess maybe that was part of my issue, but I just don't know how to handle. I mean, I pray for her every day, and I hope she's doing okay. Should I get more involved, or should I stay away, since I can't provide her with the mental help she needs?
Mm-hmm.
And
Okay, good. Well, that's a big question, Susan, and it's so good of you to remain friends with her, to apologize to her. All that is fine, but you have to also think, if she does have a few mental disorders, or what do they call it, neurodivergence now, that she's not going to respond the way that a regular brained person would respond. So I wouldn't take any rejection, you know, to heart. You said, like, when you said she didn't even answer your text to take her out for her birthday for 5 days because she was depressed. Her being depressed is not your fault. You know, your responsibility as a Christian and as a friend for all these years is to reach out occasionally and to, you know, offer her some goodness or advice or affirmation. But because of her particular problems, you're not responsible for her or her life. It's nice if you would think that you could, but essentially it should be her family that takes care of her or is ultimately seeing that she gets the services that she needs. If you feel responsible for her, you could connect her with the mental health services in her area that she needs, but don't approach her friendship with fear. You can always be clear about that, that you can still be her friend from a distance or text or once in a while go out and see her if you can, but that you'd have to set a boundary so that there's no expectation ever of you to take her in. If you're getting sick a little bit yourself, there's no reason why you have to take her in and take care of somebody else that you're not essentially responsible for. So I'd say set some boundaries for yourself. Do what you can do and trust the Holy Spirit that you'll get those promptings of when to reach out, whether it's sending a text or sending a card, or if you do get a lot of energy and and want to go over and visit her, go ahead, you know, bring a meal if you can. But the ultimate responsibility for her would be for her family to care for her. And maybe to help her repair some of the broken relationships in her family. And then do what you can do without feeling guilty. So trust God that He will guide you to know how much to give and how much just to just be a friend from a distance, so it doesn't drag down what good you can do and doesn't harm your fear, bring you too much fear. So I hope that helps you. Thanks for the call, Susan. It's time for our break. We'll be back with more of Mass Appeal right after this message.
Walk through the doors of Cantora Italian Market in Plymouth and you are instantly transported to Italy. Hi, I'm Teresa Tamio, and you can choose from a curated assortment of unique food and wines that you won't find at your local supermarket. Fresh handmade pasta, gourmet wine and cheese made from scratch bread and desserts, and high-quality meats and poultry. Don't forget to stop for lunch or dinner at the attached award-winning restaurant. For directions, visit CantoroMarket.com. That's CantoroMarket.com.
Food for the journey, Sister Ann Shield.
No, we would avoid a lot of difficult arguments, just spouting off at the mouth, as we sometimes say. Just ask the Lord, give me the words to say. Maybe I'm rightfully angry, but if I just shout and yell and scream, what good is that going to be? Brothers and sisters, God can give us much more control over our anger, over our fear, over our language. And so whenever you're in a tight spot, just stop for a moment and say, Lord, what would you have me do here? God is good. I don't mean He's going to say words that will come down from heaven. But if you pause just for a moment, you'll get hold of yourself and you may well get a thought that you didn't have before. And sometimes it's just quiet, but it's enough to bring down the steam. And then you think what is really right to say here. You might be justifiably angry. How do we respect the other person while we're correcting them? Please, brothers and sisters, let us open our hearts to God in those moments.
Sister Ann Shields gives you food for the journey, weekday mornings at 6:45 and again at 11:30 on 990 Ave Maria Radio.
Welcome back to Mass Appeal, the Saturday morning live show on Catholic Radio, where you can get some free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. The number to get on today's show, and we have call lines open waiting to hear for you. You'll drive the second hour coming up. The number is 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK. a lot of calls we often get about people who have left the faith or concern for our parents, you know, in their old age, or some of our own issues that come up that we just need some free, friendly advice on how to manage our feelings, our thoughts, our actions, so that we can truly represent Jesus Christ here on earth. Give us a call, 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK. We got a call from Robin from Connecticut. Robin, call back. I know you had to drop. You said, should she keep quiet or correct her adult children? Good question, and it's going to depend on the circumstances. Some people will say, like, always let them go. You know, they're on their own, they're grown up. But I, depending on the situation, know that you'd wait and watch a while, but think of what they're doing, and is it going to harm their eternal salvation? And if that is true, you need to bring that to their attention. Just as if you live next door to them and their house was on fire, would you call the fire department? Would you go in and get them? Or would you just sit there and let it happen? So if their soul is on fire or their life is on fire, they still need your guidance. Give it to them. Whether they receive it or not is not your particular problem. But I would correct adult children very carefully, very cautiously, very charitably, kind of like St. Francis de Sales in his correction, and make it kind and beautiful, for, you know, present that you're not perfect either and you've made plenty of mistakes and you just wanted to share a little bit of wisdom, because sometimes you can't see what your life looks like from the inside, and just say, this is what it looks like from the outside and I see it, and I would suggest this if you're open to it, and then tell them why, and gently correct them in any way that you can if it is going to be damaging to their life. You know, you can't correct necessarily how they're raising their children all the time, unless, again, they're on their way to eternal condemnation. So you can't correct little things, you know, how they decorate or where they live, even if it breaks your heart. But those things that are important, wisdom that you need to pass on from generation to generation, if they're going the wrong direction, maybe you shouldn't keep quiet. So if you want to call back, Robin, and tell me the particular situation, I can let you know a little bit more if we know the details. But thanks for the call. And now there are lines open waiting to hear from you. Their line's open. You won't have to wait, obviously, more than an hour. Call now, and we can take you after the break. The number is 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK. And as we prepare for tonight or tomorrow's readings, the second two are all about love. And I'm just looking forward to hearing them tomorrow, but I read them all ahead and ponder that. Ponder the readings, prepare yourself for Mass. The first is from the letter of St. John, chapter 4. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is of God. And sometimes tough love, like in Robin's case, is important too. Love is of God. Everyone who loves is begotten by God and knows God. Whoever is without love does not know God, for God is love. That's just half of the first reading, so be ready to ask God to show you what he wants you to know, or what he wants you to change in the way that you love or don't love. And of course, the second or the third reading, which is the Gospel according to John chapter 15, is another favorite. Jesus says to his disciples, as the Father loves me, so I also love you. And then here's a big sentence for everybody, remain in my love. Remain in my love. Go to the Adoration Chapel if you can. Go for a walk in the nature since it's springtime and just let yourself be filled up with God's love. Don't just give him your list of problems. Just open your heart and let him love you. And then the next sentence, again, is one of my favorites. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. So the commandments are important. I hope you know them by heart. I quiz them regularly, quiz my grandchildren regularly in what they are. But here's the key. We talked about St. Benedict's words about joy, and Jesus tells us this in tomorrow's gospel. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy might be complete. Now, this is so countercultural. We think that if we reject those rules of the Catholic Church that we will be happy and free. But no, Jesus says, I've told you to keep my commandments, so my joy will be in you and your joy will be complete. He said, you're my friends if you do what I command you, because I chose you and appointed you to go forth and bear fruit that will remain. Give me a call if you're struggling to do that. Love one another and follow the commandments. We'll be back with more of Mass Appeal right after this message. 877-5-PEP-TALK.
990 WDEO Ypsilanti Detroit, W300CO Dexter, an Ave Maria radio station, and on the net at AveMariaRadio.net.
Welcome to our second hour of Mass Appeal, and sorry for those of you that couldn't be here with us our first hour. I've heard that a couple of stations are just playing one of the hours, but here we are. This is Colleen Kelly Mast on Mass Appeal, the Saturday morning live show on Catholic Radio, where you can get some free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective, both by listening and by calling. If you call in, your problem that you state is probably going to help thousands of other people who are having the same problem, but maybe they're driving in the car or they can't call in for some reason. So you give us a call with your question or personal problem. The number to get on today's show is 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK. I'm a certified life coach, a Catholic author and speaker. I gave a fun webinar the other night for Idaho, at Boise, Idaho Parish, having Love Ed, that's implementing Love Ed. I gave their Parents Night online. I'll be there in a couple weeks with my husband, too, to give the father, son, and mother-daughter presentations. I'll also be there to give a retreat in the afternoon, on Sunday afternoon, the 20th. So hi to everybody out in Salt and Light Radio in Boise, Idaho. And we'll see you in a couple of weeks, but we saw you on the webinar for the Love Ed parent webinar the other night. And for now, you guys give us a call. Your calls drive the show. The number is 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK for some free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. Over the break, I was reading something that maybe we all need to hear. We had a caller last hour of the about letting something out in a weak moment, she left out a family secret, and I was looking up the St. Philip Neri article that feathers of gossip, how our words can tear up, and an article popped up, the Catholic Education Resource Center, that's pretty powerful, Catholic Education Resource Center, on feathers of gossip, how our words can build up or tear down. And there are three paragraphs here I thought I'd share with you. It says we don't realize the power of our words. Our words can be used to build up or tear down. And we have a positive impact on other people's lives when we use our words for good. Consider how much we appreciate it when someone takes time to express a word of gratitude, honor, praise, how enriched we are when someone takes a genuine interest in our lives. So conversation that focuses on what is good and honorable can edify other people's lives and help strengthen the community. So consider that. What are your conversations about? Like, how do you, just what goes on in your home and the workplace, are you initiating and creating conversations that help strengthen the community? And this article says, very often our speech is used in a destructive way. St. James states, the tongue is a fire, and he describes how easy it is to fall into sinful speech. No human being can tame the tongue, a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse men. That's James chapter 3, verse 6 and 8 and 9. And then St. Paul exhorts us, outdo one another in showing honor. That's in Romans chapter 12, verse 10. Yet many people fall into negative humor, constantly pointing out other people's faults. Then sometimes they're doing it in a joking way. Oh, no, I was just kidding. But you already hurt, right? Young people today, instead of outdoing one another and showing honor, often imitate characters on popular TV shows and YouTube videos, and they try to outdo one another with those witty quips that poke fun at another person. Oh, boy. So we tear down others when we point out their weak points. We criticize them. We complain about them when they're not present. Or we might, for example, start off speaking positively about someone, yet add a but in the middle of our sentence that precedes our mentioning a certain fault or annoying point we think the person possesses. So he says, he's a great guy, but sometimes he talks too much. Or, I love Mom, but sometimes she gets on my nerves. Such detraction, is a sin against the eighth commandment, everybody. Such detraction is not necessary and diminishes the honor that is due to that person. Then it goes off, the article continues about detraction. The vice of detraction consists of disclosing without good reason another's faults and failings to persons who did not know them. And that's from the Catechism. According to St. Thomas Aquinas, issuing injurious words with the intention to dishonor someone is sinful. Words that expose someone's faults to the detriment of his or her honor thus should be generally avoided. So because a certain statement that might be true doesn't mean I should say it. And that's where our sorrowful penitential friend called last hour. If we're to tell others about a person's hidden faults, even if there are truly weaknesses of his, that would be to the detriment of his honor. Kind of harms his reputation, right? Since these faults would be in most people's minds when they thought of him and overshadow the honor that is due him, instead of giving him the honor he deserves, others might now dwell more on this person's faults and failings. It goes on to talk more about backbiting as well. So, wow, quite an article. If you want to read more about that, maybe I'll post it. Catholic Education Resource Center called The Feathers of Gossip, How Our Words Can Build Up or Tear Down. So consider your words. Are you uplifting, making the world a better place, creating beautiful conversations, or are you tearing down and negative or criticizing even when you say it's a joke? Think about that and give us a call with your question or personal problem. The number to get on today's show is 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK. And, let's see, Melissa just sent me a note. Encourage Carrie in Iowa to call back. Carrie in Iowa, you have a dilemma and gave your question. Do you want to call back and I can answer it right now? As soon as you call back, I'll answer it, unless you just want us to answer it while you're listening. Melissa gave me some details. So call back if you want, or just call back and say, I'll just listen. But if you want me to know more details, then call back and stay on the line. I'll take you as soon as you call. Unless it'd be dangerous and you're driving, then I won't do that. Okay, and Robin, we answered you pretty well. And so it's time for you guys to call. What's your question or personal problem? Is it about gossip, the power of words, about detraction, about backbiting? How do you tame your tongue? The number to get on today's show is 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK. But we also want to talk about love a little more. While I'm waiting for your calls, last hour I had Mark Brumley on to talk about Pope Benedict's new book, God is Ever New, and He is ever new. When you read about God, you read what Pope Benedict says about some of the wisdom of life, you know, about prayer and silence and caring for others and being in God's presence and starting fires of love. God is Ever New is a new book of Meditations on Life, Love, and Freedom by Pope Benedict the 16th. And then this morning I opened up the Magnificat, and guess what? It's for Sunday's Gospel, this one about love that I read portions of before the break. The meditation in the Magnificat is by Pope Benedict the 16th, and it is about love. So I wanted to share that with you today while we're waiting for your calls at 877 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK. So here's what Pope Benedict the 16th says about love, that is your substitute homily before you get to Mass about tomorrow's Gospel. So Pope Benedict the 16th says, love is the keynote of life. And we read in the Gospel, remember, if we keep the commandments, abide in his love, our joy will be complete. So what he calls it is inner agreement with God. That's following commandments. Inner agreement with God belongs to the happy life. So if you want to be happy, agree with God. Do what he says. So he says, only if this fundamental relationship is right can all the other relationships be right. And that's how we're going to love our neighbor. For that reason, it's important throughout one's life and from one's youth onwards to learn and to practice thinking with God, feeling with God, and willing with God. So thinking with God, feeling with God, and willing with God, so that love may grow from this and become the keynote of our life. So think about that. Do you think with God all day? Do you try to think like God thinks? Do you follow the commandments? Take them seriously? Listen to his word in the Old Testament and New Testament? Do you think with God? And do you feel with God? When somebody does something wrong, do you feel sad if God would have felt sad about that? When someone rejoices, do we rejoice and bring that joy to God? Let God share in our joy and we share in his? And then willing with God, choosing with your free will to will and to do what God wants you to do, what his will is. And that's the way that love is going to grow from this and it'll become the keynote of your life. So if you need more love in your life, here's Pope Benedict's advice. Being in agreement with God. And maybe a good confession can help you do that. Or maybe you're making excuses for what you do rather than doing the right thing. So Pope Benedict continues, if that is the case, love of neighbor becomes self-evident, meaning if you're willing with God, thinking with God. For if the keynote of my life is love, then as far as concerns those whom God has placed in my way, I can once again only live on the basis of this assent. So that means if your neighbor needs love, you give him love because that's what God would do. So this agreement is agreeing with God to love yourself and neighbors. And then a very interesting part of is next about loving your neighbor and loving yourself. Because he says, to describe love of neighbor, Scripture uses a very wise and profound phrase, love your neighbor as yourself. And I've always been confused a little bit by that. That's not Saint Benedict, that's me talking. It does not demand any fantastic or unreal heroism, not it is as yourself. But people, he says, who are dissatisfied with themselves will not be really good to others. That's why I underlined that one. Those who do not accept themselves take exception to others. So true love is fair. Where it's leading us is to love oneself as one of the members of Christ's body and oneself like others, becoming free of the false perspective in which we were born, that's original sin, and the thinking that the world revolves around our ego. So he said, through faith, we must all learn a kind of Copernican revolution, which in short says, you're not the center of the world. Only if God exists, only if he becomes the center of my life, is this love of my neighbor as myself possible. So take this weekend's readings to heart about loving God, loving your neighbor, keeping the commandments, and your joy will be complete too. Give us a call if you're struggling with something. This is Colleen Kelly Mast on Mast Appeal, the Saturday morning live show on Catholic Radio, where you can get some free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. The number to get on today's show is 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK, and we'll be back with your calls in just a moment.
Counseling and the spiritual life are not often thought of as going hand in hand, but at Catholic Charities of Shiawassee and Genesee Counties, faith is foundational to our lives. Whether you want to create a more godly marriage, resolve challenging issues with your children or family, or overcome anxiety and depression, they can support you on your journey from a shared Catholic worldview. Visit CatholicCharitiesFlint.org or call 810-232-9950. Most insurance plans accepted. Ability to pay is assessed individually.
It's time for Family Man with Dr. Gregory Popchak.
Family life is a ministry. We tend to think of ministry as the churchy stuff we do at church, but the word ministry means doing any activity that communicates God's love to another person. When we help our family love and worship God every day at home, we're doing ministry. When our families cherish each other with Christ's love, we're doing ministry. When our family is kind to others, or when we invite others to our home for godly fun and fellowship, or when we try to attend to each other's needs generously and cheerfully, we're doing ministry by doing things that share God's love with others. The ministry of domestic church life is among the most important ministries of all. And discover more ways your family can celebrate the liturgy of domestic church life. Check out the newest editions of Parenting with Grace and visit CatholicCounselors.com. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, but you can call me Family Man.
To discover more ways faith can enrich your life, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Online betting can be fun. It's kind of like whitewater rafting. The rush of excitement, the thrill. Well, until your raft is heading straight for a huge waterfall. For tips that will help keep you afloat, go to don'tregretthebet.org. Sponsored by the Michigan Association of Broadcasters and the Michigan Gaming Control Board. Have a gambling problem? Call the Problem Gambling Helpline at 1-800-270-7117.
Good morning. Welcome to Mass Appeal, the Saturday morning live show on Catholic Radio, where you can get some free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective by calling this toll-free number. The number is 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK. This is Colleen Kelly Mast, life coach, author, speaker, mother and wife, cousin, neighbor, friend. Friend to you, and I'm glad that you're here with me today. If you want to learn more about my work, go to my website, respectforyou.com, respect the number four, the letter U.com. We've had a number of people call and then hang up, and I just read Carrie from Iowa. You do have a dilemma, and you need an answer right now. So, Carrie, I said call back, but this is an emergency. Carrie from Iowa has a dilemma. She said she's on her way to help her 18-year-old daughter move in with her boyfriend. And Carrie says, I don't know what I was thinking when I agreed to help her. Her daughter had 12 years of Catholic homeschooling. Carrie, if you're listening right now, don't stop the car, but we have to stop what you're doing. So if you're on your way to her house, you get to the front door and you say, oh my goodness, I don't know what I was thinking. Holy camoly, it just dawned on me what I was doing. I made the biggest mistake, and I want to apologize to you. I am so sorry. You know what you're doing is mortally sinful. You are choosing to absolutely reject God and His plan for your love life. And I don't know what I was thinking. I was just thinking about you and how much I love you and how much I care for you. And I want to help you with anything. But I never want to help you sin. I do not want to participate on your rejection of God and your mortal sin. So I must have been insane. And my love for you, my care for you, overrode my love for God for a moment. And that was a weak moment. It overrode my own conscience. That's how much I love you. And now, because I love you so much, I have to remind you that what you're doing is so wrong, and I will not participate in your sin. So I was crazy for a moment when I said I would help you move in, but I'm not going to. But I want to give you a big hug because I love you so much, and I love you enough to try to lead you the right direction. So I'm suggesting you don't move in. Don't reject God. Don't reject His plan for your love life, because He is the one who is love. He invented love. He created you in the way that you're made. And so just my love for you overrode my conscience for a moment. I got knocked into my senses here for a minute, and I'm happy to see you, but I'm not happy to see you move in with your boyfriend, and I'm certainly not going to participate in enabling your mortal sin. So I hope you're listening, Carrie, if you need me to help get back on, if you're standing on the doorstep now and you don't know how to say it, just call me and I'll tell her for you. So stop. That is a dilemma. And thanks for the call, and sorry you had to hang up before we got to you. So hopefully you're still listening. and that you can turn back, you know, on that path that you were on, and just tell her that you are not going to help her. No, none of us want to participate in someone's mortal sin. So we love the person, but we hate the sin, and we cannot be compliant in their sin. So, Carrie, I should have answered that a few minutes ago. I hope you're not already helping her move in. Hope you heard the answer. So God bless you. Let's all pray for Carrie, that she makes the right decision to turn around and not help her daughter move in with her boyfriend. Big, big mistake that will harm her capacity to love for the rest of her life. Not only the sin itself and her alienation from God, but then it leads to many other problems as well. So never help your kids move in with their boyfriend or girlfriend. It's wrong. No matter how much you love them, that is misplaced generosity. Oh, boy. Okay. Hope that helps you, Carrie. And anybody else that was thinking of or mistakenly said they would help their adult child move in with their boyfriend. What were you thinking? You're right. So let's pedal back on that and help your daughter know why. So that's my advice to you, Carrie. All right. You give us a call, too, with your question or personal problem. The number to get on today's show is 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK. And our next caller is Pierre from Pennsylvania. What a beautiful name. I just love how it sounds. Pierre from Pennsylvania, you are on the air now. What is your question? Go ahead.
Well, thank you. It's my first time calling.
Okay, welcome.
And I've listened to you for a few years, and I've never called, and I just wanted to say thank you. You have such a soothing voice with people that call in for their difficulties. So my question is, as a long-term Catholic, I was in the seminary when I was young, so I would say that I'm a devout Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
But I struggle with the situation that's going on in the church right now, you know, especially with fiducia supplicans and the acceptance of gay blessings that Pope Francis has initiated in the church. And it's so frustrating, you know, and I often get polemic about it because I'm not sure how, you know, our clergy can justify you know, contradicting St. Paul, you know, because it's clear in St. Paul's epistles that fornication is wrong. So we can't bless that, and it's both, you know, for heterosexual or homosexual, it's still the same. Fornication is wrong regardless. So why is this happening? And the frustration that I have as a Catholic, you know, it's upsetting, you know.
Yes.
Because we're in the pews and we believe our priests and our clergy so much to live a good, solid life that we try to live in our own life, and then we're so devastated by the clergy that don't feel the same way, and they scandalize us because we believe them, and we're trying to live a good life, and then all of a sudden, they get flaky.
Yeah, exactly. There's so much frustration going on. I totally understand it. And we have to guard our peace of mind about this. This is the evil one trying to disturb our peace. But when you, the problem with that document and a lot of the teachings is that there are 5,000 words that they could have said maybe in 100 words. And then the media takes it and spins it off, and it creates so much confusion that the clergy is disturbed, the lay people are disturbed. And in that document itself, the fiducia supplicans, in the document, if you can get through all 5,000 words, even though so many of them are unnecessary, they're kind of like, what did Jennifer Robeck Morris of the Ruth Institute said they were weasel words, like to talk around them. But if you look at it real carefully, in the document it does state marriage is between a man and a woman. Any sexual activity outside of marriage is sinful. The church cannot bless same-sex unions. It actually says that, or irregular unions. And it says a priest can bless any individual who asks for a blessing with the right intention without approving or condoning a lifestyle, which any priest with common sense already knows and does. And I spent time at the airport coming back from Iowa last week with Father Wade, and he explained to me what he would say if someone came for a blessing in an irregular situation. And those would be, you know, like, are you intent on repenting and changing your way, or do you want this relationship blessed? And he wouldn't bless a relationship that was wrong. He would bless an individual who is repentant and struggling and trying to get out of their situation. And I think that that we as Catholics, we kind of have to guard our psyche, you know, that we can lose our mind or lose our faith, and that isn't going to help anybody. So when we look, I know you're not going to read all 5,000 words because of what the media said. It just makes us sick to think about it. But we have to find what is good, and the good is in the catechism. The good is in the church teaching. The good is in the scripture. And the church teachings have not changed. You know, in our society, if it was built on Christian morality, it's better off than this sexual revolution alternative. And you and I know that. So what you and I, to get less disturbed about this, need to take it with a grain of salt, knowing that he said so many words that confuses everybody. We stick to the church teachings. We spread the church teachings. And if you want to go through and find out those four statements that are right and good and correct in that document, then we can live those. And let's pray for this Pope, pray for everyone that's confused by his words, so that we can truly spread the good news of the Catholic teachings. Thanks for the call.
My dad, sharp as a tack, but getting him out for a dentist trip got harder every year. When he moved to the senior residence where he lives now, Dr. Mansour's portable dental service was a godsend. Dr. Mansour comes to wherever the homebound patient may be, whether in a nursing facility or the comfort of home. All the services you'd expect in a dentist office brought straight to the patient's door. Call 586-873-5567. That's 586-873-5567 or portabledentalservices.com.
The universal call to holiness is not an innovation of the Second Vatican Council. It runs throughout the entire New Testament. In fact, it's part of our DNA. We are all called to be saints, the lay state, every bit as much as the religious or the ordained. St. John Chrysostom makes the point, you certainly deceive yourself and are greatly mistaken if you think that there is one set of requirements for the person in the world and another for the monk. The difference between them is that one is married and the other is not. In all other respects, they will all have to render the same account, for all people must reach the same point. And this is what throws everything into disorder, the idea that only the monk is required to show a greater perfection while the rest are allowed to live in laxity. Rather, Paul says the same philosophy or same way of life is demanded of all.
Cresta in the afternoon, weekdays from 4 to 6 on Ave Maria Radio and the Ave Maria Radio app.
Do you have a teenager at home who's full of potential?
Too often the world is telling you to be content with mediocrity instead of raising respectful and responsible young adults with strong character. Hi, everybody. I'm Dr. Ray. If you need some help, not only to navigate those teen years, but to really enjoy them, check out my book, Standing Strong, Good Discipline Makes Great Teens, as well as my other books, on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net.
Welcome to Mast Appeal, the Saturday morning live show on Catholic Radio, where you can get some free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. The number to get on today's show is 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK. And you can learn more about my work at my website at respect4u.com. Our next caller is Beverly from Wisconsin, a regular caller. And she's, I don't know, last time she called, we didn't have time to hear everything that she was going to say. And Bev, I'm sorry I didn't answer your email. It was so long. And I got it like last week when I was in Nebraska, and then I had to travel, and my life is nonstop here, so I'm glad you called back and wants to tell us about some warnings of things going on with our bioengineered food. So, Beverly from Wisconsin, you're on the air now. What did you want to let our audience know?
Thank you very much for letting me come back on. My purpose is not to scare people, but to give you a heads up and to be pro-life. We tend to think that pro-life was just the babies and the unborn babies, but it really is gotten to be everything. Our seniors are being given toxic shots, and we've got the food issues. And we have to, expand our thinking a little. I'm not trying to disturb people or disturb your peace, but I do want to make people aware to protect your life. And we can't just be cavalier anymore.
Well, how does bioengineered food harm us then? You know, I know I've been reading labels and getting these little messages and, on the internet or emails about, being concerned about looking at your food labels and seeing that a lot of this is bioengineered. One of my doctors told me that, don't even eat corn anymore because it's mostly all, bioengineered. Like, how does this harm us and why should we be concerned about it?
Well, you have to compare that, just like the shots that were given to the babies and the COVID shots, you don't know what's in it, and that's the danger.
Okay.
I mean, we know what bioengineering is.
Mm-hmm.
It's CRISPR technology. It's adding snake proteins and insect proteins and everything. But we're going, that's heading into the transhumanism thought.
Oh,
it's such a big pickle barrel that nobody wants to talk about it because you don't know if this brand of pickles has got, snake protein in it, or if it's got marine protein in it, or if it's got gorilla poo in it, or if it's got, insects or chitin or parasites. So the best way to do this right now, and I was asking for your time because we have this little bitty window to go out and really look at your proteins and your bakery goods. Now, what I found so far is most of the bakery goods are highly processed, and you'll find the bioengineering itty bitty tiny print between the barcode and the QR code.
Okay,
but you have the chance to grow your own seeds, heirloom seeds, organic seeds. You have your chance to go establish a relationship with a farmer, buy an animal that's in, you can butcher in the end of the year to get a cooperative going. But it's in the 40s, we had our chickens in our backyard, and we had our own vegetable gardens. And what you didn't have, you could get across the fence. Now, that doesn't exist. So it's dangerous because it's transhumanism. We don't know what is in our food.
Wow, I have heard that we would be less human, part of the harming the dignity of the person, then, is what you're saying.
Exactly. It's all a demonic attack to make us anything but the image of God. Like I said, the farmer's market, if you go to the farmer's market, don't just believe him, say organic. Ask him what. Was it an organic seed? Do you have good soil? What does that mean?
Okay.
You can't just swallow anybody's information. A personal note, I went in with an eye infection. They know I have cancer, and they turned around and gave me something with polysorbate 80 in it, which is carcinogenic.
Yeah, but so, everybody doesn't know that. They're not aware, so thanks for helping us be aware, because I know in your letter, you said something about the, animal crackers and those little fish crackers that we give our kids, and those are all bioengineered. So go ahead and tell us what you have learned and how that could help us.
I can tell you company names, but we don't want to do that.
No.
Mom, so look at the animal crackers and the little fishy crackers, all the cereal.
Cake mixes.
Quaker Oats is closing in Illinois. And that's just really disturbing, not only because people are losing their jobs, but because the standard of food isn't there.
Mm.
And, there's E. coli and Listeria and Salmonella in a lot of our products, means the equipment needs to be resurfaced, upgraded. People need to be retrained, but, It's somebody else's 401k. And so it's all intertwined, and it's so overwhelming. People don't want to think about it, but you know, you want to preserve your family life. You can't necessarily trust the grocer. Well, I did go into all the major stores here in southeastern Wisconsin, and the managers didn't know. They did not know what bioengineered meant.
Yeah. They don't know what GMO versus non-GMO food, or even the seeds. You're right. A lot of the seeds are genetically modified.
And I asked to be in magazines and different things that people didn't. So I started asking mothers with young kids, did they know? And homeschool mothers thought they knew, but they really didn't. So my independent study since January is only 2 in 20 people even know that bioengineered title exists. Let alone what it is.
Okay, so what specifically do you think that we should do to stay healthy besides read the labels? And we need to, do our own gardening, make sure our seeds are non-genetically modified. Any other specific things we need to do?
Well, there are three people that are really on top of this. There's a Dr. Bryan, B-R-Y-A-N, artist, A-R-D-U-I-S.
Okay.
You can find him with Mike Adams on Natural News. And so he will tell you there's 20 snake proteins and 10 marine 10 marine toxins in bioengineered food. And he has, there isn't time on your radio to tell you that he has three categories. You've got to identify, you've got to give your body something to break up the toxin.
Okay.
It's ivermectin, hydrochloroquine, or nicotine patches. Then
You've
got to break it down, and then you've got to get it out of your body. And it's, to break it down is EDTA or, hydrogen peroxide, specific rules on this.
Okay.
And then, to get it out of your body is apple pectin and, a diatomaceous clay or bentonite clay.
All these things are available too at the health food store. And so this is good advice. And when people say, they're detoxing, they'll use things like, apple pectin and diatomaceous earth. And I would say to watch what you're doing, planting, eating, read the labels, and go to the health food store for some detoxification things that are healthy for you, and eat as cleanly as possible from now on. And so we won't be victims of all this bioengineered food. Thanks for the call and bringing that to our attention, Bev. Welcome to Mast Appeal, the Saturday morning live show on Catholic Radio, where you can get some free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. The number to get on today's show with your question or personal problem is 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK. I was just writing myself a note to post that gossip article that I found on Catholic Education Resource Center, because that's very interesting. Okay, our next caller is, it's not you, but you can call after that, Kathy from West Virginia. Welcome to the show, Kathy. You're on the air now. What is your question today? Kathy, go ahead with your question. Kathy from West Virginia.
Okay. Can you hear me okay?
Yes. If you have the radio on in the background, turn it off because it's delayed. It's like a few seconds delay. So just listen on the phone right now. Okay, got it.
All right, let me, I've got you on my Bluetooth on my car.
Okay, great.
Okay. I just was, you're talking about negative things that impact your life today.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, I'm my husband of 16 years is he's become, well, over the years he's done things to my side of the family that he's ostracized himself from participating in our family life. And so it's kind of me and my two boys when I'm able to get together with them and their families. And but they've said that they don't care to be around him because he is so negative, and he finds fault with their eating habits, their, you know, whether they go to church or not. Just anything. And I'm thinking, and then just the other day we were in church, and one of the elderly ladies in church was doing part of the rosary before the mass, and during a weekday mass, and she said instead of the ascension, she said it was the assumption. She just got confused. Well, she started in, and he said, no, he said out loud, no, it's not that, Gene, you're wrong. I'm like, oh boy. I was like, oh no, you can't do that to people. Anyway, I don't know how that's going to turn out, but he did apologize after church about speaking out. But she just, you know, she was having a bad day, and she forgot what mystery it was, and it was like, okay. So, I other than I've added him to my daily rosary, and I pray my prayer every day that, Lord, please change me, not my will, but yours. And I'm praying that he can overhear that prayer in the background. But, Colleen, you're so positive and upbeat. I wondered if you had anything else to add to for me to educate or impact a change in him that will bring our family back together. Because it's tough. Family group.
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I've got plenty of ideas for you, Kathy. Okay. I hope the break doesn't start before I finish. But anyway, yes. All right. First of all, when you're married to a person, one of your tasks is to lead them to heaven and to sometimes very kindly, gently call one another out on things that are destructive and divisive, particularly divisive to your family. And so besides praying for him, which is absolutely the right thing to do, that his heart is softened, pray now that he will be open to some correction. And the spiritual works of mercy, I know there's one that's bear wrongs patiently, which is applicable to all situations. And another is to instruct the ignorant, counsel the doubtful, and correct the sinner. And so we're going to move into those categories of how can we so carefully help him change that habit. So if you're his helpmate, you're his wife, you want to remind him that his comments, his critiques, his criticism, that nature of his has become such a habit that it is creating division between him and other people. And just say, because I love you so much, I want other people to love you too. Do you want other people to love you? I don't care, he'll say. Do you want to love other people? We got to remember this Sunday's gospel, to love God with all your heart, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And if you keep your God's commandments, you will be happy. So there's something inside of him that is not happy. And Jesus says, your joy will be complete, you know, to keep his commandments. So allow yourself to become a loving corrector of his and correct this habit, and just tell him, just say, I know it's a habit that, because 40% of the stuff we do anyway is a habit, but just say that, do you know that you can change that habit and change your approach to things, and you will be happier yourself? Because habits are these little choices we make every day. You know, we all have different habits, behaviors, you know, how we wake up in the morning, how we greet our family, the supplements we take, our, you know, how we brush our teeth, you know, the way we drive to work or cook our food, how we clean our houses. Everything is a habit. So our habits and behaviors look different from each person to person, but it's about 40% of our behavior that's a habit. And so he isn't necessarily thinking about it. He's just doing it and saying it. So I would approach him and remind him of the division that is being created in the family, and that you want people to love him. And his call is to love others. It's a commandment. God just doesn't say criticize each other anywhere. And so help him realize that the power of his words, and now I will post that article for sure, his words are powerful because people respect him, because he's the dad, he's your husband. And if the habit that he has is of criticizing or complaining, that creates division instead of love. And so you can read that Bible verse, James chapter 3, verse 6 or verse 8 to 9, where it says the tongue is a fire and it's easily to fall into sinful speech. Just remind him very lovingly that this is creating division and it's harming people, and that he can, he has a possibility, he has the potential to change this habit. Anybody can change a habit when you think about it. What habits does he want to build? Well, think of affirmations. Sit and practice. Like all the people we're going to see today, what affirming thing can you say to them? Not a lie, not, you know, false flattery, but what can you say that is good about them? And let him shock the people at the next family party. Let him shock them with his new words and surprise them with his positive approach to bringing affirmation instead of criticism to everybody. And he will be happier, and you both will be happier, and it will help build a bridge then between people where division had been created. So go help him. Replay this back if you want. This is, the shows are always uplifted as a podcast on AveMariaRadio.net, and take today's show and play it for him and discuss it just out of love. Just say, let's talk about this in a way that you can be good and holy with your words and draw people to God because of you, and let people love you as well. So go ahead, do the correction gently, lovingly, and play back this part of the show for him if you need to at AveMariaRadio.net. So thanks for the call. It's time for our break now, our soft break. The music doesn't play. I have to stop it. So good question. A lot of people live with a negative Nancy, that it's just a bad habit that we can change. So thanks for the call, Kathy. This is Colleen Kelly Mast on Mast Appeal. It's time for our break, and we'll be back with more right after this message.
Speaking about the success the state of New York was having with fighting the coronavirus, Governor Andrew Cuomo insisted that God didn't make things better. Man's hard work did, he said. Bishop Robert Barron addressed this issue in a very powerful YouTube video on the nature of God, reminding us what is written in the book of Isaiah. Lord, it is you who has done everything we have accomplished. Now, of course, Bishop Barron elaborated on that. We're grateful to God for what we're able to accomplish. I have spent years in the communications industry as a reporter, press secretary for the Wayne County Executive, the biggest county in Michigan, and as a communications strategist with my own company. I've covered politics and worked for politicians. I've come to firmly believe that if you're not grounded in public service and in God before you go into politics, you will become consumed by the power and actually start to believe you are God. This has been a Christ Center Communication Message. I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo, a communications evangelist.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, weekdays on Ave Maria Radio.
We have work to do. Our Lord didn't just rescue us from the world. He rescued us for the world. What does that mean? That when he rescued us, we're supposed to rescue others. That's a big message of the Rescue Project. Rescue people, rescue people. If you are rescued, then you are going to go about the business through your ministry, your fishing, so to speak, of fishing for men and women to rescue people. We don't want to just sit back and say, oh, this is great. I'm saved. Don't have anything to worry about. Don't we want to take some people with us? And aren't we supposed to be the Lord's hands and feet? Aren't we supposed to take care of the most vulnerable? To be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect, to help others recognize the importance of relationship with Christ, to witness. It's not just about us.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, weekday mornings from 8 to 10 a.m. on Ave Maria Radio and AveMariaRadio.net.
Good morning. welcome to our last segment already of Mast Appeal. It's always a pleasure to be with you. This is Colleen Kelly Mast. I'm a certified life coach, author, speaker. Check out my books, Love and Life, Love Ed, Sex Respect, on my website, respectforyou.com. Also where you can sign up for life coaching or learn more about my speaking. So go there, respectforyou.com for more. You can also contact me through there as well. And I'm going to post this article on gossip and detraction on my Facebook fan page for anybody that's still left on Facebook. I'll try to put it up there if I can get it on there. And if I can get my granddaughter to put it on my blog and my website, I'll do that too. But that was from a place everybody has access to, Catholic Education. Let's see, Catholic Education Resource Center online. Just look up the article, Feathers of Gossip. How our words can build up or tear down. So that will help you as well. But I want to talk a little bit about habits and in response to Kathy's question at all and her husband being negative Nancy. And earlier calls, we talked about habits of friendship or negative habits as well. But when we want to develop a good habit or a bad habit, you know, we have to first be aware. Be very aware. We spend a lot of our time just letting our unconscious habits take over our day. And so awareness is that first step. You know, for example, if you notice that every time you're with this certain person, you do gossip, or that a habit that you might have, like every time you change your clothes, if you throw them on the floor or throw them on a bench and then the pile gets so big you put them away. But changing your clothes and throwing them on the floor can be so automatic that you weren't even aware that you were doing it. So this awareness, you know, when you're trying to be aware of sin or hurting people or divisive things, we have to be aware and ask God to and our guardian angel to remind us, have the Holy Spirit remind you when you are leading yourself into temptation, so that you can be delivered from evil. So understand the science of habits, you know, and use it to our advantage. You know, so if a bad habit is automated, being negative, say, being critical every time you're going to go there, it's in your mind like, oh my goodness, we're going there. And then you're going to complain about everything they do, put down the person to your spouse. That is a sinful habit that you want to redirect. Think of your values, like Kathy should think of her husband and just say, well, what's important to you? Love or division? You know, unity or division? What's important for family? So you think of your value is family unity. Your value is love. And then you look at your habits and say, is what I'm saying, is what I'm doing bringing more love into the world? No, I'm creating discord by that. You know, even though it's been deeply ingrained, you know, you're not even intentional about it. You created that habit, and so it was your free will that chose that so many times that it's now a habit. And that's why the church says to go to confession regularly, because if we stay in venial sin for a long time, we just excuse it and say, I'm not robbing a bank, or, you know, I didn't kill anybody this week. But no, this venial sin of criticism, sarcasm, fault finding, negativity becomes such a habit that you don't realize it's creating a big wedge in the family, like Kathy's husband has. So look at what your values are, which should be love. That's what our value is supposed to be. And think of what matters to you, and look at the value of cultivating good habits in line with our values. Our value to love ourselves and love one another, and start developing those. Be aware of the habits we want to stop. What habit do you want to stop? And then write down ways that you can do the opposite of that and build a good habit. And you've done it in your life so many times, you know, how much TV you're watching, or that you brush your teeth every day, or whether you're drinking more water or going to the gym. Whatever you choose, you can change a habit. And you can make it fun. You can hold one another accountable. You can practice ahead of time before you go to that family party, as I mentioned. What are we going to say or do that is positive, that brings love into that room, love into that family, and love into that house? So our responsibility to bring Christ's love into the world will have to sometimes change the habits that we've created that are negative, that are divisive. So pray and ask your, and pray with your husband. Pray that the Our Father together, lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. And then ask him to practice with you. What can we say? You'll end up laughing and having fun with it. But what can we say that's different? How can you think differently till your mind starts thinking positively? Your mind starts thinking, affirming the good in others. Your mind starts looking for the good in others. And essentially, you can change that habit. So whatever your habit of little venial sins that's accumulating might be, you can change those. So make a good confession. Ask God for the help and the grace to change. And you can go out and make a difference in the world by spreading love instead of division. Spreading grace instead of sin. Thanks for being with us today. This is Colleen Kelly Mast reminding you to be Christ to others. Be his love. Share his love. Spread his love.
Mast Appeal is produced by Ave Maria Radio and broadcast through the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Copies can be purchased or free downloads can be found at the Ave Maria website, avemariaradio.net. If you have a comment or question for Colleen, write to Colleen at avemariaradio.net or Mast Appeal at avemariaradio.net. And listen for Mass Appeal Saturday mornings from 9 to 11 Eastern Time for free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective.